Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
And welcome to the Raw Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Sidgwick from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review Raw and SmackDown, but also NXT, AEW Dynamite, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Sidgwick to look ahead to Raw tonight. And I don't want to start off on a negative, but this does not feel like the show 2 weeks after the Raw, after WrestleMania, does it, Sidge?
No, I mean, here's the thing. Historically, it's not a new thing that they would just simply go ahead and say, oh, let's just do WrestleMania again. I've always had backlash. They've always repeated, like, almost to the exact number of people in a match, like they did Backlash 2004, and they just literally did the triple threat again from WrestleMania 20. It's not a new development, but it's so naked, the fact that it's called WrestleMania Backlash. And yeah, it's just what they do. But at the very least, this company over the last however many years has built the Raw after WrestleMania as this thing where they'll push someone inexplicable or they'll call someone up from NXT underneath the obligation. Yeah, I had to do WrestleMania again, people like that. Underneath that, there was something new happening, some new developments. This Raw scene at the minute is just so stale, it's so repetitive. It's almost impossible to get excited, like almost impossible. Like my favorite development, because it's funny and I like schadenfreude, is that in order to, because fandoms will reconcile flaws to themselves in order to, like, just appease themselves, if you like, to bargain with this thing that isn't particularly good. Hence why you get this awful tribalism that you see on the WWE fan side. Their latest means of doing this is by saying, yeah, Raw's crap. Everyone knows Raw's crap. But SmackDown's amazing. And I know last week's episode was really good.
Yeah.
But generally, it's not that great a show. It's not that electrifying a show. If it was that good a show, they wouldn't have botched their main WrestleMania program and have to change it. Like, their latest thing is, oh yeah, Raw's crap. Everyone knows that. Come on, we're not that bad. But SmackDown's the best thing ever. And you're an idiot if you don't like it. So what I'm trying to arrive at is that even the mega stands, even the worst mutants are saying, oh yeah, Raw's rubbish. Mm. So what is someone with like a reasonable mind meant to think of this? It's absolutely dreck every single week. But let's get into the specifics of why this might or might not be dreck, Wilborn.
Well, it feels weird previewing a match considering it was taken away last week. They're like, first time ever. No, bollocks. Actually, we're going to have Riddle face Orton and Strowman and get involved in something else. But the one thing we know to look forward to in terms of matches tonight is Drew McIntyre and Braun Strowman versus the newly unmasked T-Bar and Mace. Are they staying? Because I can see it's Dio Madden and Dominik Dijakovic. So do they have to have the stupid name still? How do you see this one playing out? Because I suppose technically they got a win over the number one contender for the WWE Championship and Train Boy last week, didn't they?
Indeed, yes. What's that going to matter? I'm really interested in terms of how stupid or not are T-Bar and Mace going to look? Because I love the idea now, and I spoke about this on the review, but, you know, if they give you the same show, you're going to get the same takes. It's just the way of the, just the way this thing happens. Really interested to see now, on a pure, like, schadenfreude level, of course, that, right, okay, what's happened is that they've said they're not in Retribution. Retribution no longer exists for all intents and purposes, and yet they are still dressed up as disillusioned performance center, also Rans, who also aren't from the performance center. They're just grunts with, they're just cartoon characters. That I could never reconcile that, and you weren't really meant to. So the idea is they got unmasked. Are they just going to hoist your suit on? That would be funny if they hoist your suit on. The idea now is that, oh, well, they're not T-Bar. They're not Mace. They are quite clearly Dio Madden, who you might remember from commentary, and Donovan Dickhead, who you might remember from PWG and the NXT run. That was basically the exact same thing. Exact same thing he did do at PWG, but for one night.
PWG Backlash.
It was basically PWG. Like, I just love how throughout his entire NXT run, they didn't have any ideas for Donovan Dickhead. And it was just, right, okay, you know, one match you did PWG, and you know, you had it involved as well. You just do that for 18 months. That was his character. It was absolutely unbelievable. But I think, given that they unmasked them, there was a deliberate attempt there to go, right, okay, you are to disassociate these fellas from their time in Retribution. They look to have aligned with MVP. Are they just going to wear suits now? Are they going to be these, like, proper, like, formidable looking, but, like, you know, good drip wearing guys because they are now mates with MVP? Are they going to stop grunting?
That's the big question for tonight.
That's what you should put in the preview. Bobby Lashley returns. Is T-Bar and Mace, are they going to stop grunting? That's a question, because why did they grunt so much? They grunted as if they were like heavies in the 1980s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon. Like these just primal beasts, cartoon characters. Like they're in Streets of Rage. That's what the noises they make in old 80s, 90s video games when you hit someone on a side scroll and beat them up. They wear suits now. Can they still grunt? That's the key question for me, because wins and losses don't matter. Who cares about any of that? Clearly they're going with Drew versus Lashley. This is just some set dressing to arrive at it. Are they going to keep grunting? That's my question.
Bebop and Rocksteady would be better names than
That's what they are.
But yes, you mentioned Lashley there. He is, of course, returning tonight. He's been off telly for a couple of weeks. Speculation as to why we haven't seen the likes of him, AJ Styles, Omos, etc. I'm not going to go into any further of that because they may have just not been given any storylines, or it may be the ongoing global bastard not for our position to judge or react to, if I'm perfectly honest. But yeah, you alluded to it there. He's going to apparently address the number one contender, Drew McIntyre. It's surreal that they're like, ooh, are they in the pay of MVP? And he's like, hey, we had them. We got rid of them. We've slimmed down the Hurt Business. But and even in kayfabe, if someone like the sizes of T-Bar and Mace became available, yeah, of course you'd want them as lackeys in your stable to beat the crap out of the Scottish bloke who very nearly took the title from your stable at WrestleMania.
I mean, they're not very good at it.
No.
So possibly not. Who knows? I don't know how this is going to... I hate to use this word, considering the reverence with which it is spoken on other days of the week. But they're going to attempt to dovetail the this match with the return of Bobby Lashley. It's going to go to a non-finish, and Bobby Lashley's going to be responsible for it going to a non-finish. They are building a new, worse Hurt Business, so it would seem. Here's the thing, you're not going to get anything interesting. You're not going to get anything that advances plots any further than they need to be. You're going to get a non-finish in this match with Lashley. There's going to be a new Hurt Business, probably. Last week's result won't inform anything. You're not going to get Dickhead versus McIntyre versus Lashley in any kind of triple threat. This is like the worst kind of intriguing or unpredictable intriguing absolutely isn't the word. I can't tie everything together as I normally would because I just don't think any of it makes any particular sense.
Yeah, it's what, 3 weeks on Sunday till just under four weeks from yesterday till WrestleMania Backlash, and you can't help but feel there's going to be some sort of wheel spinning going on here because of that. And possibly in relation to that, of course, you've got the women's title picture. You've got Charlotte Flair suspended and fined for putting her hands on an official last week. How will that affect Raw? Because, you know, they clearly aren't done with Asuka being in and around the title picture and what have you.
At the end of the day, to the letter of the law, she beat Charlotte Flair last week, so she should certainly be in with another shot at the title. I hope tonight they just go, let's have Rhea Ripley just murder some jobber and remind us of how excellent she is in the ring.
Indeed. Well, with Charlotte Flair suspended, probably going to miss WrestleMania Backlash again. That's speculation. We don't know, but ultimately, it's WrestleMania Backlash. You're going to get Asuka versus Rhea Ripley again. And the question is, can they build it any better than they did the original match? I sincerely doubt it. They can't book women anymore, particularly women. They can book some things on SmackDown. I will give them credit for that. But I don't know how they arrive at this match. And I'm just so apathetic as to the possibility. I think the idea now is it feels like they're going with Rhea Ripley. And as is often the case at this time of year, they do WrestleMania Backlash, or Backlash as it was known in a previous life, as kind of obligation content, right? People like this. It's just a sequel before we do something more interesting. Can they do anything at all to put across the idea that Asuka is actually capable of dethroning this champion? So it's not so much Rhea Ripley that I need a reminder of how good she is. It's Asuka.
Yeah.
But how do they do that? Is there anyone on that roster who she can have a killer match with, because she needs a killer match, because last week's was a disaster. I thought the match with Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania was pure gentleman's three. I thought the pacing was really drab. The reaction wasn't there because no one cared about Rhea Ripley, because they hadn't really built it as a threat on TV. And ultimately, when I look back at that entire build towards WrestleMania, it just negates the point of having a preview discussion on here. Because we say, all right, okay, well, surely if Asuka beats... We sometimes put our like actual storytelling heads on when we analyze Raw, and we just get into these habits of thinking, right, okay, well, how do they rebuild and reheat Asuka? Do they use the fact that she had a win over, you know, the legend of the division, how they market her as in Charlotte Flair, and say, right, okay, well, she's obviously next in line, Adam Pearce, can, you know, give her the nod? Or do they just have Asuka point at the belt, much like Rhea Ripley pointed at the sign, and then there you go, and then can they form a tag team again? You know what I mean? Like, it's pointless. Like, you don't have to do anything to get a title match. The titles don't mean anything. There's next to no chance of Asuka winning the title, because it feels like they're going with Rhea Ripley, whether they're doing it well or not, you know, is another matter entirely. God, she might just point. She's like, she's going to point at the belt, and then Rhea Ripley's going to do some kind of like really dorky expression where she's trying to convey the relish at the challenge or some bollocks because they make her look like a tit. That's just going to point at the belt, Wilborn. I don't know how anyone can get excited or jazzed about this show. She's going to point at a belt or something. I don't know.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Elsewhere in the women's division, we've got Alexa Bliss and Lily. I was going to say veiled. I swear to God, I'm going to pull your plug out if you keep going. Right. So we've got Little Miss Bliss.
That's usually the opposite of what some WWE fans say about Alexa. weeks.
Little Miss Bliss. I was going to say made a veiled threat to women. She didn't. She just said, I don't like you. Lily doesn't like you. And I broke a child's arm when I was younger. So just imagine what I'm going to do to you. And I thought, in the spirit of that, I thought, you know what? I'm going to look, Sige. I'm going to do some actual research. I'm going to look on that women's roster and see who could be sort of the first sacrificial lamb to Alexa Bliss. You have her just, you know, in have her just, oh my God, tonight, you know, spooky Little Miss Bliss in a match. I know that's not a name. I'm just avoiding it for my, you know, always listening to the conversations that I have thing in my room. And I looked and I was like, they're involved in the women's tag team title picture. Oh, they're involved in the women's tag team title picture. They're involved in the women's tag team title picture. Well, that's Charlie Caruso. She's not very involved. Yeah. And I've come up with Nikki Cross. That's the entire research. That's it. Because isn't Mia Yim on SmackDown now, technically?
Apparently, she'll not do anything, unfortunately.
Yeah. So, yeah, potentially, maybe not tonight, but could that be, that feels like the next, sorry, I'm tickling myself by saying, that feels the next logical step with this booking. But yeah, it's just going to be more spooky bollocks with her and maybe with Bray Wyatt tonight. I don't know whether they have to alternate weeks like divorced parents. I don't know how that works.
I've got no idea how any of this works. But apparently there's a big lore and a mythology and I'm just not understanding it enough. She said she wants the women's title effectively. And she then Lily, this doll that's been with her this whole time. What did the doll think when she was dressing up as Buzz Lightyear? Well, not very evil, that. But look, let's see how it plays out. Maybe the doll's like one of these idiots on Square Circle. I don't know. Like, as you said, like traditional build, you would have big push, new heel character, sets sights on division, tears through the division. And by that, I mean, you give yourself 1, 2, 3 months of TV if you want to go all in on this heel and convey to the fans the idea of, oh, she's beat the lower rung. Oh my God, she's hitting those tiers now. She's beaten some of the more credible women in it. Oh my God, she's won a number one contenders match 3 months down the line. She's racked up enough wins now and she's just beaten someone with real credibility. That means whoever's holding the title when she's right at the precipice of things means that they're in trouble and it's going to be a title switch. It's a roster to go through. There's no way, because WWE is such a total mess, there's no way to try and like slowly build this character by scalp, scalp, scalp. Each scalp increases in credibility and tenure and championship caliber. All the while you think, right, okay, well, this mega heel's going to destroy everything. Who can she beat? Mm. You know what I mean? That's going to mean a shit. Like, who can she possibly beat? And again, circling back to the point I've just made, she can just point at something. You know what I mean? She doesn't have to do any of this. They could make their jobs a lot easier if she did do this, because that fills TV time. Then you don't have that numbing, punishing crap where you have to just watch the exact same match that happened last week because they've got no ideas to fill the content otherwise. They should book in the way that I've just mapped out, functional and basic as it is. Because if nothing else, they can just go, right, okay, let's do this. And then, right, that's the next 3 months sewn up, right? Let's concentrate on a different story. It's just not how the book. So hard. This job is so hard.
Sorry, I'm just getting some breaking news in my ear here, Michael Sidgwick. Apparently tonight it's going to be the Viking Raiders versus Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander. So let's look. I'm joking, of course, although I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, if no, you're not.
First match on the card goes 10 minutes. And yeah, Viking Raiders pick up the win. That would not surprise me whatsoever. But yeah, my concern with this is the same as always. Which is like we reported on the news today with, I think it was with Steve Cutler's release or someone like, yeah. No, maybe Wesley Blake, actually. It might be, yeah, it must have been Blake. That creative was, put you back with Murphy to do tag team stuff like we did in NXT. Like that, for me, tells me that's the lengths that they go. So they'll probably go, have Nikki Cross return, which could be something. But just have her worried that her friend's going a little bit dark, which is exactly what they did, 6 months ago? More than that ago? Actually, no, 6 months ago was we were already deep in the lore of The Fiend by that point. But yeah,
Little Miss Bliss, I can't say her name because of the thing. Little Miss Bliss, I'm worried about you. Lily. Just do the fucking Abby the Witch, Lily match, or Rambling Rabbit versus Lily, or not Rambling Rabbit and Lily's wedding. Get it fucking over and done with.
Lily goes to the gauntlet of the Firefly Funhouse puppets. Why not? And it'll go an hour because all the gauntlet matches do.
And it'll go to a non-finish.
Yeah.
Oh, no. What's the Cobra doing here? No. Before we get to the thing that really winds me up, and think of the ground that covers on Monday Night Raw, before we get to that, something I actually quite enjoyed last week, and I think you did as well, to be fair, Sheamus's open challenge, which wasn't for the United States Championship, but did allow him to kick Humberto Carrillo's head off. More of that tonight with more, you know, goobers from the lower down divisions?
I guess. It's something that he's looks like he's been made to do by Adam Pearce. So if you take the bare bones of the story, it's halfway decent. Even though I hate the idea of a champion, much less a wrestler, just not wanting to do his job. Come on, especially someone like Sheamus. The idea is he's one of the few WWE heels with credibility who will bring the fight with people. In fact, he will actually actively challenge people by like throwing them scooter first into some like really rigid and like unforgiving production equipment. So the idea that they're doing this particular strain of storytelling with him is just, oh, I actually believe in Sheamus. I actually really like watching Sheamus. You don't want him to be like a chicken, a coward, bitch, to use the pro wrestling accepted nomenclature. I guess he'll destroy some geek in a minute. One of the geeks will come out after however many weeks and go, oh, you're not being nice to my geek mates, so why don't I put up more of a challenge than these geeks? And then I will be less of a nerd, less of a loser by losing to you in 8 minutes at WrestleMania Backlash.
Yeah, the only hope I have for this is like the stuff that he did. I mean, he's just kicking the crap out of Humberto Carrillo last week. But like you say, he's been one of the few shining lights on Monday Night Raw for the last few months. And I feel like this is one of those things where, a bit like back in the day, where Vince just sort of takes his eye off something because he's so excited about spooky Alexa. It's all right, we're all good. She didn't hear me. Spooky Little Miss Bliss. And Bob, look at the size of Bobby Lashley. And I've got two more big muscly guys to go in his stable now. Then he sort of goes, what are we doing tonight with the United States Championship? Oh, he's just going to issue an open challenge. Someone's going to come out and he's going to beat him. Cool, yeah, you deal with that. And you can maybe sneak in a little 5-minute banger if someone like I've written tonight, just have Drew Gulak come out. Because, yeah, Drew Gulak is a really good wrestler. Gulak
versus Sheamus in a good promotion.
Mm.
It'd be really good if it was a good promotion.
I just think, like, have Drew Gulak come out. Obviously, he's not winning, but give him 10 minutes because you've got enough bloody time to fill up Monday Night Raw. They could have a little sneaky banger if no one else is concentrating. And like you say, build to, I don't know, Ricochet, hopefully, at WrestleMania Backlash. Because that could be great, because that could be another flippy dude getting brogue kicked out of thin air. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, that would be awesome. Sheamus versus Ricochet with the respective characters built sufficiently would make for an excellent dynamic. So I'd watch WWE, Willborn Wrestling Entertainment. I'm not going to watch WWE because it won't do anything as good as that.
Right, let's move on to the final point. I've made it as a sort of the bullet point here. Is like, women's tag team title shenanigans. But honestly, what is going on? So,
don't ask us about this. Can we just wrap it up?
No, because
we've got the mid-roll ad yet.
We've got all that, don't we? We've got all that stuff.
Let's just tie it up.
And I know this isn't like, where's this all of a sudden gone wrong? But like, last week you had Nia Jax getting wound up by them going, oh, look at her falling on her ass. And then yet again, Shayna Baszler getting pinned. And now we've got bloody Reginald back on SmackDown. And on Raw, I don't know if we're going to get Reginald tonight, but now Nia Jax is getting also courted by Angel Garza. What the? Like, I don't even know who the number one contenders are because everyone beats the tag team champions except for when it matters.
How about screw everyone else in the division because they are just complainers, entitled complainers who have been just stripped of any semblance of credibility that they've never had. Let's just go on the Angel Garza thing here. What about, because I love the Odd Couples, right? Them people hanging out? What if Angel Garza creates a rift between Nia Jax and Reginald, right? Shayna Baszler takes pity on Reginald in some kind of Odd Couple scenario, and you get a mixed tag match at WrestleMania Backlash between Angel Garza and Nia Jax, the new power couple, mm-hmm. versus Shayna Baszler and Reginald. Well, that's where it could be heading, couldn't it?
Honestly, probably, yeah. Because, like, you can easily see that... Oh, God. Oh, no. Oh! You know, you have one of those, like, you know, like in a film, like, oh, I've just had a vision. That was like me with my Vince McMahon vision of him going, right, I tell you what, get the baby faces really over, is if they go, Angel Garza isn't attracted to Nia Jax. Look at Mandy Rose. That's what he wants. And they've somehow got him to flirt with her so that the baby faces can get some sort of advantage and get another. I honestly don't know where they're going with all this.
That's a very WWE thing to do, though, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I'm just like, I mean, I don't know what Angel Garza's doing right now or has been doing for the past, year? But shenanigans around the women's tag team title picture. Everyone gets drawn in, clearly.
Yeah, it's like a great intricate spot. It's like Kenny Omega's title run. except the worst possible version of it.
And with that, I think we have to end because...
Oh, please.
I don't think you can get higher praise than the women's...
I have to watch this tomorrow. I don't want to.
And it's just you and me tomorrow because Hamlet's had a four-day weekend for himself.
I'll try and wrap it up then.
But don't worry. Tomorrow, we have me and Michael Sidgwick sitting down to analyse one of the greatest promos ever, Sidge.
Yes. Indeed, one of my personal favourites.
I don't mean anything on Monday Night Raw.
No, of course not. Of course not.
That's going to be great when we go and watch Raw and go, well, what a Raw with quite possibly one of the greatest promos ever. Not the opening promo, something else we're going to analyse from years ago. So we'll get into that. Let us know your thoughts ahead of Monday Night Raw on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Well, actually, you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at...
Sidgwick.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE and make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts, including, of course, the review of Monday Night Raw with myself and Michael Sidgwick tomorrow. And later on today, myself and Sidge talking about all the fallout from Impact Wrestling Rebellion and Kenny Omega holding all the gold, the new belt collector that he is. But for now, this has been the Raw preview. My thanks to Michael Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.